Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily and these days more than daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and you're joining us for a Question Time Leader special. And I'm joined by James Forsyth, Fraser Nelson and the political editor of The New Statesman, Stephen Bush. We have some refreshments as we go for this on a crazy Friday night, where we've heard from four leaders tonight. We've heard from Jeremy Corbyn, Nicola Sturgeon, Jo Swinson and Boris Johnson. We had Jeremy Corbyn first. Actually, let's just hear what he had to say with regards to his party's Brexit policy.
We will negotiate a credible leave deal with the European Union. Let me finish, please. I'm trying to answer the gentleman's question. Secondly, we will put that alongside Remain in a referendum. My role and the role of our government will be to ensure that that referendum is held in a fair atmosphere, and we will abide by the result of it. And I will adopt, as Prime Minister, if I am at the time, a neutral stance so that I can credibly carry out the results of that to bring our communities and country together rather than continuing an endless debate about the EU and Brexit.
James, this appears to be a change in position, doesn't it?
So, Katie, this is undoubtedly the big news of tonight. Jeremy Corbyn has declared that in the second referendum that he wants, he will be neutral between Remain and the deal that he intends to negotiate. I think this is the biggest play of the election that we have seen so far, and it is very risky, I think, from Jeremy Corbyn. I mean, the danger for him is that Leave voters think, well, why do you want a second referendum if it isn't to stay in, because you don't like the result of the first one? And Remainers feel let down that they're going to have a Prime Minister who is neutral on this question, but has become an issue of identity for so many of them. You know, far more people identify as Remainers than identify as being members, don't identify with any particular political party. I think Labour's relief tonight will be that Jo Swinson, the Lib Dem leader, completely failed to hit Jeremy Corbyn on this point. And she had a torrid time from the audience. But I think the big question now is whether this limits Jeremy Corbyn's ability to squeeze the Lib Dem vote down any further. And if that is the case, it is a miscalculation, I think. Because I don't think this is going to be enough to bring back those Labour leavers who have left the party over this issue. You know, the current YouGov polling suggests that about 10% of Labour 2017 voters have gone directly over to the Tories. I don't imagine that this position is going to bring them back, because it's just going to sound like a lack of leadership. But it might limit their ability to squeeze the Lib Dem vote down further, and that is going to be a problem for them.
Stephen, let's talk about that. And before we do, let's just listen to Jo Swinson, who James has mentioned.
You're not saying we'll go back to the people. You are unilaterally saying revoke it. That is undemocratic from somebody who wishes the last 3.5 years had never happened. There is no difference between the pair of us.
So, I suspect you want a people's vote.
That, to me, is the only way forward, recognising people who are strongly to leave.
So we have been leading the fight for a people's vote for 3.5 years.
Yeah, but you're not now. You're now leading the vote for revoking Article 50.
17 times in Parliament we put down amendments to try to secure a people's vote. If Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party had backed that with sincerity, then we might be having a people's vote right now instead of a general election. But we are in a general election. You know, this is the essence of democracy. I am standing here and telling you honestly what I would do if I was elected as Prime Minister. I would revoke Article 50, and if you vote me into that position, I will do what I've said I will do. And that's the essence of democracy.
Is the Liberal Democrat leader in trouble, or should we not take too much from that audience?
I know it's a cop-out answer, but I guess, yeah, we'll find out on the 12th of December, right? You speak to... So, you know, during that debate, I texted someone who was, shall we say, not a fan of the Liberal Democrat leader during the leadership election, going, yeah, what do you think about this? And they went, I think it's an unrepresentative audience. This does not fit with the pattern I'm experiencing in the country. And I texted someone who was very pro Jo Swinson during the leadership election and expecting them to have a positive view, but they sort of had the same thing. And I'll be honest, although none of the views I heard there were surprising to me, I was surprised by the lack of a a balance, yeah, a kind of balance between, you know, partly, one, there are plenty of Remainers who've said to me, I don't like the revoke policy, but I like them, they are the adults in the room, in inverted commas. There are plenty of people who go, I don't like the revoke policy, but I'm glad that they've been robust on Labour anti-Semitism and are not the Tories. Now, it may be, because many of those are sort of negative endorsements, than what we saw today and may see in other TV appearances, is that there are lots of people who are voting Lib Dems as kind of the vote of last resort, but those people aren't going to ask positive questions of her. But I mean, I think, you know, the question is this, if it turns out that every bit of data the Lib Dems have is wrong, and in the end of the election they have 14 seats, 15 seats, then of course that's the end of Jo Swinson. But the thing I am really struck by is that when I speak to everyone who's not in the Liberal Democrat high command about this election, they have a very different account for it to the Lib Dems themselves, up to and including the people who were sort of dying a ditch for Ed Davey.
Fraser, what was your takeaway from Jo Swinson's performance?
I felt a wee bit sorry for her. You kind of almost wanted to give her a hug at the end because the audience was just so incredibly hostile. I mean, we know that support for Lib Dems is way higher than it's been at pretty much any point in the last sort of three or four years. Yet the audience seemed to be giving her a hard time for the Tory record, not Boris Johnson. If anything, Boris got an easier ride for the Tory years. And now, of course, there are a great many people who loathe Brexit and are pleased with her position on revoking it. We just didn't hear much from them in the audience tonight. And I think this, I think she might walk away having regretted having pushed so hard to be included in the leaders' debate. It seemed that the BBC had picked people who had pretty strong views in Jeremy Corbyn and Boris Johnson, but nobody seemed to care much about the Lib Dems other than wondering why they were there in the first place.
James, let's talk about the other leaders who were in that. So first off, Nicola Sturgeon. Now, we had Jeremy Corbyn, he was the first to go up. Again, this is quite brutal audience questions, but one of the issues where he tried to clarify his party stance was on Scottish independence and the issue of Indyref 2. He said that he would not grant the SNP, if Labour were a minority government and they needed the SNP's support, a second independence referendum in the first 2 years of a Labour government. And he didn't confirm what would happen after that. Now, when Nicola Sturgeon came up, she suggested that the audience should forget everything Jeremy Corbyn had said because she would be able to convince him otherwise. Is this damaging?
I think in CCHQ's dream world, the audience for the Sturgeon bit of tonight would be the highest of anything, because the Tories are convinced, both by 2015 and by what they are finding in their own opinion research now, that the idea of a Scottish nationalist holding the balance of power in a hung parliament is a massive win for the Tories. In Scotland, it helps them bring unionist tactical voters on board who might not be very big fans of Brexit or Boris Johnson, but they will vote Tory to stop Indyref 2. And then in the rest of the UK, people don't like the idea of a party that wants to break the country up, holding the balance of power. I think that one of the problems for Jeremy Corbyn is that Nicola Sturgeon is very good at these things. Jeremy Corbyn is seen as weak. I don't think that's a position that's going to be helped by him saying that he'll be neutral in the second referendum. I mean, he had quite an effective answer on Tuesday night about how he's a different kind of leader. But he's still not, I think, what the average voter thinks of as a leader. While as Nicola Sturgeon is very clear and very crisp. And I think when she says, and I'm not paraphrasing that crudely, yeah, I'm going to tell him what to do, then I think that does have some cut through with voters in the rest of the UK.
Just to put a different spin on this, Fraser, there were some on social media tonight who said that actually Nicola Sturgeon came across very well, and there perhaps be some in the United Kingdom as a whole who might think that she is a sensible voice in terms of a power sharing arrangement with Labour. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think she did come across well. I'm no fan of SNP policies, but I'm impressed by Nicola Sturgeon. I think she conducted herself with alacrity and elegance. I mean, she did well as you'd expect. It's always versus expectations with these things. But I do think when, you know, Jeremy Corbyn was up before saying, oh, no, we wouldn't give him the referendum for the first 2 years at least. And then Sturgeon comes up right afterwards saying, no, there's no way we're going to put this guy number 10 unless he gives us a referendum straight away. And I don't think anybody watching that would doubt for a second that Corbyn would sign up immediately to whatever she wanted. Given there was a 3% chance of a Labour majority, they would need the SNP. I'm not quite sure. Again, if you're a Labour voter, you wouldn't see that as a terribly terrifying prospect, the SNP plus Labour. The SNP would only want a referendum. They really wouldn't want to interfere with much else in Labour government. They'd be lobby fodder for the rest of the time. So I don't think many people would view it with horror unless you're a unionist. If you're a Scottish unionist watching tonight's debates, it would make you more determined than ever to vote for the MP who's most likely to defeat the nationalist.
Yeah, it did make me think, actually, from a few conversations with Scottish Conservative MPs recently, and there was a sense that things are actually getting a bit better for them, but they thought the ITV leaders' debate was bad for them in Scotland. Mm. And that was because Boris Johnson talked so much about Brexit, said get Brexit done multiple times, and there was very much a key audience for that. But they find on the doorstep, they're trying to move people away from the Brexit question and move them on to independence. So having Boris Johnson spend most of the debate talking about that isn't very helpful. Watching it today with Jeremy Corbyn and then Nicola Sturgeon, you got the sense that this is something which they will find much easier to pitch on the doorstep in the days to come now it's moved. Now, moving to Boris Johnson, Stephen, what did you make of his performance tonight?
I don't think anyone could say that he was particularly adept at the TV debates, but I think he did this was a format that was suited to his strengths, right? Most of the questions to all of the politicians could essentially be paraphrased as, why are you so awful? And he does a very good job of basically kind of going, oh, but, you know, actually, I'm a different type of politician. Here's the kind of colourful phrase. And I think he did that very well. I also think he had the advantage and having come after Nicola Sturgeon's Joe Swinson's trial by fire, the fact that he didn't get turned over in the same way, I think meant he came across not brilliantly, but he's the person who doesn't need to come across brilliantly. He just needs no one else in this campaign to have a change moment if the polls are right. Of course, if the polls are wrong, But if the polls are right, Boris Johnson is the person who just needs to survive these set-piece events, and he's survived two of them.
James, on that, one of the things that did appear to keep coming up was the Conservatives' record in government. And Boris Johnson does appear to have an ability, perhaps, or at least a motivation to almost act as though he doesn't have that much to do with it.
Yeah, I think one of the great successes of this campaign from Boris Johnson's point of view is that he has managed to make this about his record as Prime Minister in the last 100 days, when he's essentially been electioneering all the time, rather than the last 9 years of the Tories in government. I was very struck by how much he distanced himself from that, saying that, you know, he was Mayor of London during a lot of his time, you know, don't blame me, Gov, essentially, for the tough decisions that the Tories have taken. I think on Stephen's point, I think that the thing that Boris Johnson, I suspect, would be most pleased with is that when we were discussing which clip to play of all the leaders, we knew what we wanted about Corbyn, neutral on the second referendum. Sturgeon, I'm gonna tell him he's got to give me a second independence referendum if he wants to be Prime Minister. Swinson, all those many moments when the audience just went for her on revoke. There wasn't really a moment with Boris Johnson in the audience. And that, for him, is a win. Because as Stephen said, you know, unless we are seeing the biggest polling fail in history, he is currently quite comfortably ahead. And he will just be happy to get through these moments. And I think I thought tonight you saw something about Boris Johnson. There's this idea that Boris Johnson is this freewheeling politician who just says what he wants. In fact, he's probably of the four, the most relentlessly on message. Whatever the question was, he gets it back to his campaign points. The other parties are trying to frustrate Brexit. I'm going to get Brexit done. And in answer to the final question, he got all of his messages in, basically saying, 2020 can either be a year of two referendums or a year where the country moves forward and invests more in the NHS and education. And I think, in a way, despite the fact that he didn't score any runs tonight, he didn't lose his wicket either. And that is enough for him, I think.
But Fraser, if, say, the polls are wrong about the Liberal Democrats and we take the audience tonight as a sample, as Stephen says, there is a possibility there is, in terms of Joe Swinson just not hitting the mark, that does change the picture for the Tories. It doesn't matter if Boris Johnson has a good, decent campaign. Ultimately, the Tory strategy is to unite the Leave vote and count on the Remain vote being divided.
Yeah, and I still think that if I was a Tory strategist, I'd be looking at this a little bit worried of what appears to be a Lib Dem implosion, seeing Jo Swinson just bits to the ground open up in front of her.
Now, just to bring this podcast to a close, I'm going to attempt to ask you all to say something and see if you go for it. I would like you to name who you think the winner is from tonight's session. If you need to go beyond just the first name and the surname, you can, but do keep it brief. Stephen, we'll start with you.
Boris Johnson.
Boris.
I think the happiest person tonight will be Boris Johnson.
We're definitely not a Tory-leaning publication.
No, I think that Corbyn, by talking about being neutral on Brexit, that's the biggest story of the night. That puts Brexit back up the agenda, which suits the Tories. And also, Corbyn being neutral will reinforce their message that he is weak, he doesn't lead. And I mean, that is the danger for him, that he has basically pushed both Brexit and leadership up the agenda. I mean, as you say in The Guardian tomorrow, Katie, sorry, break The Guardian's embargo, so, you know, the Tories will be worried about the prospect of a total Lib Dem implosion. But I do think that Corbyn saying he is going to be neutral in that referendum must limit his ability to unite the Remain vote.
It wasn't a triumph for Boris, but it wasn't a disaster, and it could easily have been a disaster. Think of a Tory record he had to defend. He won insofar as he didn't lose.
Thank you, Fraser. Thank you, James. And thank you, Stephen. And do join us again, perhaps tomorrow, but if
Sunday, faster. Sunday, for the manifesto.
Thank you.
I'm so perky.
I'm not even going to re-record that. Thank you very much.